Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I feel full already. It's like when you have a nice, you know, meal and a nice dessert and a nice cup of water or juice to wash it down. So that's how I feel already from what, you know, the Lord has done here this morning. And so if we decide to go home now at this point, I feel I have been extremely blessed. Amen. Praise God. You see, while I was preparing for the message, the Lord told me two things: healing and reassurance. So there are people here that will receive their healing, and there are people here who need to be reassured. I believe that God would reach you at the point of your need. But I just want to encourage you, just open up and listen to what the Lord has to say to us this morning. Amen. Let's bow down our heads and let's pray. Our Father, I bring myself before you. I bring your people before you. Thank you for this wonderful opportunity to hear your word. The Spirit of God, I ask that you come and do what you need to do. Bless your people and glorify Jesus. Let everything that will be said here bring glory and honor only to the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, so it's our Healing Gut service today. And you see, but the title of the sermon, which is Undying Love for Jesus, has fitted so well with the current theme that we have been going through for some time, which is authentic Christianity. You see, so if you have been following this series, you will see that the Lord is gradually molding us, is gradually teaching us, is bringing us to a particular point, and is bringing so many things out, helping us. Some things you would generally not hear in most churches. See, most pastors or most church leaders, you see that they don't have the boldness to declare some things that the Lord has helped us to hear within the past few months. You see, I believe that these things are not just being said, and our lives are not just being changed like that, but there is a purpose. And as the world that we live in, like we know, is a very, very wicked world, we have a lot of fakes around. Just like we have the real Savior. The devil is also preparing a fake Savior. And it is absolutely vital for God's people to be able to identify eventually when this fake Savior is revealed, for God's people to know and be able to draw in between the lines that this person is fake. But if you have not been shown what authentic Christianity is all about. And it will be a struggle. Because when this fake guy shows up, believe me, he will do things. He will bring solutions. Amen. Okay. So we're going to read our first scripture for today, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 23 and verse 24. Ephesians 6, 23 and 24. I'll read. Thank you, Pastor Tim. Okay, peace to the brothers and sisters, and love with faith from God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. Matthew 24. And we'll read from verse 4, and we'll read through to verse 14. Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved." Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I'd like to start from verse 14. It says, the one who stands to the end, say the same shall be saved. This world, unquestionable, will pass away. Everything we see, all the glories, the things that we see, the systems, human systems, the politics, the institutions that have been put in place by man, they will pass, they will all pass away. That's what scripture tells us. And so this world that we live in is very, 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 very difficult. It's a difficult world, it's a wicked world. It's a challenging world for the non-Christians. And you know what? It's even worse for Christians. Why? Because we will not do things the way they want us to do things according to the will of the world. We will not compromise. If we have to obey God's word, we will not compromise. And that puts us in a very difficult situation in the eyes of the world. But in the eyes of God, we are in a better situation. You see, God has a solution. And only one solution when Adam and Eve messed up in the Garden of Eden. We all know that story. I'm not going to go into that story. God, in His mercy and in His love for us, His undying love for us, He decided to come in the person of Jesus Christ to die for us. Now I'm going to just briefly sidetrack here. If you're sitting here, it's good you're here, nice to see you. But you see, coming to the meeting place where Christians gather, what we call church, is not enough to take you to the place where God wants you to be. Because of what Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden, they plunged the entire human race into sin, including myself and all of us. Even before we were born, we were sinners. But God, in His mercy, decided to set us free. And then He came in His Son, in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. And when Jesus came, the Bible tells us that Jesus was crucified on the cross. Jesus suffered on the cross. Jesus was humiliated on the cross. You see, crucifixion is nothing to be associated with. And even worse, the Roman-style crucifixion. You see what Jesus went through? The sort of weapons that they used to whip Him. And these are specially designed weapons with all sorts of bits and you name it. Bottles, metals, nails, you nail it. Very long. And you know these very tall, muscular Roman soldiers. The Romans, they don't recruit. They recruit tall guys. So when they hold this whip, and they, you know, they whip it, it wraps around you, and they pull it. And as they do that, it yanks your flesh. I can see some people cringing already. But that's what Jesus went through. The Bible says when they finished with Jesus, you could barely recognize Him. That's what Jesus went through for us. For me. So if you're sitting here, you are not a Christian, you probably aren't going to benefit too many things from this message. But I urge you at this point, think about what Jesus did for you, for me, for mankind. Anybody can pass away now. People die now, even in India. When they are a few months old, death is not only for the old age. People die at any age. You don't know. I walk out of the door there, that probably can be it. It might be it. So if you've not given your life to Christ, please consider giving your life to Christ. Just coming to church is not enough to save you. It's not enough. You come to church Sunday, no, it's not enough. If you've not made that commitment, if you've not asked Jesus, confess your sins and ask Jesus to come into your heart, into your life, and be your Lord and Master. If you have not done that, please do that. Make sure you do that. So that at least you know that eventually, when your time comes, you know where you're going to. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And once that is done, God gives us His love. And it is that undying love of God, undying love that we now have for Christ, our Savior, who died on the cross for us, that's the love that will take us through. Like we were told in verse 13. Only those that can endure to the end shall be saved. Only those who can endure to the end shall be saved. Now I'm going to take us back to our main scripture, Matthew 24. And then I'm going to start going through that scripture. Okay. I'd like to go through from verse 1. See, Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him. They called his attention to his buildings. So, do you see all these things? He asked them. Truly I tell you, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Then our main scripture, Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you. These are the things that are called the tools of the enemy. Number one, deceit. Deceit. The devil is a master at deceit. The devil cannot overpower anybody and force you to do something. He does not have that power. God has the power to force us to do something, but God will not force us to do anything. He has given us our free will, and it is based on the free will, the decisions we make, whether to obey him or not to obey him, that we will be judged. And so I'm just making it clear that the devil does not have the power to force anybody to do anything. But his trickery, his mastery, he is very, very good. He can deceive people. And that's why the Lord is warning us here. He said we should watch out. Now when Jesus says, watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah. You see, but the thing is, if you don't know what it is, what authentic Christianity is, how not to do something as a Christian, if we don't know what is real as Christians and what is fake as Christians, how do we know that we're being deceived? And how do we know what we need to watch out for? He said, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah and will deceive many. I'd like to pause there and I'd like to look at that word Messiah. What's the meaning of the word Messiah? The Messiah means Savior. Savior. Savior of a group of people, Savior of a nation, somebody who comes and saves, somebody who comes and prefers a solution from the existing, somebody who comes and delivers, like Jesus came and delivered us from sin. But Jesus is saying here that we should watch out that nobody deceives us. See, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. I'm sure we're hearing that already. I don't know about you, how do you feel sometimes when you hear of nations, things happening in different countries? Countries attacking other countries. We are waiting to see a situation where there is a war between two countries. How about when a country decides to attack something that belongs to another country? How do we interpret that? A nation deliberately fires an aircraft that belongs to another nation. How do we interpret that? Or a nation decides to bring down the aircraft of another nation. How do we interpret that? We are seeing these things. They're happening around us already. We should not be waiting for the times where America is now facing another country and they are fighting, they're exchanging bullets. We see things are happening in a very subtle way. It says nations will rise against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms. Now when we hear of these things, what's going to take us through? What's going to hold us together so that we don't fall apart and lose our focus of Jesus? So that we don't fall apart and forget what Jesus has called us to do? It's our undying love for Jesus. That love for Jesus that says, in spite of, I am going to do this. In spite of, I am going to obey your word. In spite of, I am going to pray. In spite of, I am going to preach. In spite of, I am going to tell people about you. Things are bad now, brothers and sisters. They're going to get worse. If anybody tells you they're going to get better, just take your Bible and find your way. Because things are going to get worse. That's what our Lord promised us. He said there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. See, the nations are struggling. Countries are struggling. They're going through different things. Needless, I mention what is happening in our own country. Nobody has a solution. They have no clue. No solution. They say go to the north, they all go to the north. They say go to the south, they all go to the south. Go to the east, they all go to the east. The time of our Lord and Savior is getting nearer. I cannot tell you when. If I can tell you when, I won't be here. Because I want to be with Him. Because if you look at the world, this world is, if I remember many years ago as a child, it's a much different world than what we're living in today. Some things we hear about, things happening to children. You can't even mention, not to talk about, imagine them. But you see, Jesus is getting ready. He's preparing His church. Make no mistake. Jesus is getting His church ready. He's preparing us. He's preparing His people. And as Jesus is preparing His people, the enemy is preparing His people. He's preparing His crew. And that's how things are getting tougher and harder. Now Jesus said, yeah, all these things we see. Why are the nations struggling? Nations are struggling. They're looking for a solution. They're looking for somebody. Somebody to say, right, this is the way. Somebody comes. He says this. He tries it. It doesn't work. Somebody's going to come forward that will say, this is this. And it will bring the solution to the nations. Bring peace to them. Bring what they think they're looking for. And the Bible says all these things happening, beginning of birth pains. I've never given birth to a child. Well, I have children. And so I don't think I'm in the right position. I'm not in a position to comment on birth pains. But I think our mothers in this place, they can tell us about birth pains. Do you know what it is to go through? Birth, to give birth to a child, birth pains. Must be difficult. But Jesus, my Lord Jesus, does not use words lightly. If Jesus says what is happening in the nations, what is going to happen and what is happening in the nations is the beginning of birth pains, then it means the beginning of birth pains. That means the nations are in a position where they're looking for what? They need to bring something forth. And what are the nations looking for to bring forth? They are looking for somebody. The nations are crying out for somebody that will come and give direction, clear-cut direction. And somebody will come. That all nations, the Bible says all nations, will listen to him or to her. Somebody will come with that sort of clout, power, will listen to him and listen to her. And because they listen to him or to her, the Bible says, we believers say we shall be persecuted by all nations. Why are we being persecuted? Because he will give the clear instructions to persecute Christians. And when he says it, they will listen to him. They will persecute all Christians. Some of us will be killed for our faith. Some of us will be put away, will be locked away for our faith. But the Bible says, they that shall endure to the end. They that shall endure to the end, said the same shall be saved.
Hallelujah.
They are the ones that will be saved. And what is going to take us through? What is going to hold you together when we come to this point, at this stage, is our undying love for Jesus. Undying love for Jesus. And we'll get to the point where we say, I am willing to be crucified. I am willing to put my neck on line. I am not going to deny Jesus. I'm just full of emotions when I think about what Jesus has done for us. Can we reciprocate the love of Jesus? Can we do for Jesus what Jesus did for us? I don't think I can. But you see, I don't think he expects us to do for us what he did for him what he did for us. But I think he wants us to be genuine and to be sincere. How do we then make sure that we have this undying love for Jesus? It's not complicated, brothers and sisters. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do we love Jesus? Do I love Jesus? And that's all the Lord is saying. If you love me, keep my commandments. And what are the commands he's giving us? He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your mind. I will go further. Love the Lord your God also with all your body, your lifestyle, your substance. Love the Lord your God. Brothers and sisters, these are the times when we need to throw ourselves into the things of God, throw ourselves into the love of God. And what God is simply saying to us, read my word and obey. Read the word of God, the scripture, and we practice it. So we read it and we practice it and we obey it. Obey what God is saying to us. If God tells us to do this, we do. If he says to do that, we do. And that is what God requires from us. He doesn't want us to give him, give him our lovely clothes, our lovely houses, our lovely cars or whatever. No. God doesn't need all of that. All he needs is the heart. God wants me to give him my heart. Hold nothing back from him. To show to him that in spite of any situation, I love you, Lord. In spite of any situation, I love you, Lord. How do you show to somebody you love them? particularly somebody like God that we don't see, how can you show to them, demonstrate to them that I really love God? This is something that all of us probably struggle with. Your money. Your money. If I ask how many people regularly give to church work here, I'm not going to embarrass myself. I didn't say I want to embarrass you. I'm not going to embarrass myself because I probably won't see any hand up. But how do we demonstrate to God when we struggle to release that which is in our pockets to God? So if you cannot trust God to say, Lord, I love you, then how genuine, how real, how serious are we? When I look at other organizations, you see how they are funding their work, something that they are not even directly linked to. You see they are just pumping their money into it because they believed in that cause. They believe in what that particular group is doing. But for God's people, it's different. See, and that's the reason why some pastors have now, you know, devised a lot of gimmicks, how to, you know, really extract this thing from the people. You see, they're putting their pastors in difficult situations. But it shouldn't be like that, brothers and sisters. Inasmuch as I do not support what those pastors are doing, but also, the people should not put their pastors in difficult situations where they now have to resort to all sorts of ways, or you name anything to just to, you know, get it from their people. It's not right. If we love God, the Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And God's commandments are not difficult, they are not grievous, they are not hard. They are not things that are impossible, they are not things that we cannot do, because if there are things we cannot do, God will not ask us to do those things. I'm going to start rounding up now because we need to pray for people. Like I said earlier on, God wants to heal people today and God wants to reassure people. So what are some of these things that can affect our undying love for Jesus? Your health. These things can pose a challenge. It can pose a challenge. This is what our doctors have said. And because we are focusing so much on that, our eyes are off the mark. Your family, your friends, your career, your job. These are things that can cause a distraction. Nothing wrong with those things. Nothing wrong with them. But we must not allow those things to distract us from our focus on Jesus and obeying Jesus. Praise the Lord. I don't know what you're going through. I know what I'm going through. But whatever it is that we're going through today, whatever it is, I believe that God would meet us at the point of our need today. Let's just have faith in Him. Just believe in Him. And as we come out to be prayed for, just open up to God and trust that God will meet you, that God will meet me at the point of my need. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray.